and welcome to the Living in Rural Mallorca podcast. Have you ever dreamt of moving abroad for a rural lifestyle on a Mediterranean island? My guests in this series did just that and share their experiences with us. The pleasures and the pitfalls, tips on making the transition, making the most of life in Mallorca, and more.
We came from a little terraced house in South London to 12,000 square metres in the middle of the countryside.
It was only when we came here that we discovered it had a perfect building for a photographic studio attached to it.
This place comes with a lot of maintenance. Some of it is really pleasurable. I love being outside. I would garden every day, paint walls.
I'm Jen Edwards, podcast host and author of the Living in Rural Mallorca blog, all about our own experiences of life in a finca since we left England in 2004. This episode features two guests, a husband and wife team of commercial photographers who swapped life in London for a rural home in Mallorca, with frequent commuting between the island and the UK for client shoots there. 17 years have passed since Carl and Vicky Grant based their business studio Mallorca in their countryside finca on the island. They reveal some of the early challenges of their life swap, how things have changed for them, and the unexpected feature of their countryside home. I started by asking the couple why they decided to move to the island.
Well, it was a bit of a snap decision, really, wasn't it?
It wasn't a very well thought out decision, or not something we thought about for a long time. Basically, we were in London and we really enjoyed what we did, but we wanted a new challenge.
Yeah.
And we had been to Australia and I wanted to move there and you said it was too far.
It was just a bit, it was emigrating. It wasn't a change of lifestyle. It was just too much of a life change. But after 15 years in London, it was time to try a bit of a new adventure.
But still maintaining your career as photographers.
Yes, exactly. We were both independent photographers, worked within the same industry, slightly different specialities. And we'd also started renting our house out a bit. We'd done our house up in London. It was only a little terraced house, but it was the age of where everybody wanted everything lifestyle. So lots of magazines wanted to shoot fashion stories at home or home interiors looks, didn't they?
Mm.
And we'd done that a little bit with our little terraced house, and it occurred to us maybe we could do something similar as like a third job between us, because, you know, the life of a freelancer.
Yes.
Always good to have a backup plan. But maybe we could do it somewhere a bit warmer.
So we knew that a lot of people came to Mallorca. I mean, from the UK and Northern Europe, all the fashion teams, it's... For them, it's 2 hours travel for blue skies and blue sea.
Mm-hmm.
So we knew it was a busy island from a production point of view.
How did you decide which area of Mallorca you would live in?
We didn't.
Oh.
When we had the idea to do it, we of course just start surfing the web and looking for things. And we turned up this place. We had no idea about Mallorca. I'd never been. Vicky had been once to photograph.
2 days.
Yeah. To photograph Julian Clary. We knew that a lot of people came here. So we turned up this house just looking. And the idea was to come for a recce and just see if this was a viable idea that we could do in 12 months' time. We could learn the language and... Yeah. All those sort of things.
Try and get some savings together.
Yes, exactly.
Read the book, 10 Things to Know Before You Move to Spain.
We came for our recce and met up with the real estate agent, who showed us 4 or 5 properties in a similar sort of price range, and couldn't quite understand why we wanted to see this one, because it was a bit run down and neglected. And it was only when we came here that we discovered it had a perfect building for a photographic studio attached to it. Now, this wasn't mentioned on any of the details.
Oh, interesting.
No,
it was a complete surprise. So after viewing it, we were staying in a hotel in Palma. We went back to the hotel in Palma and said, well, this was something we were thinking of doing in 12 months. But realistically, in 12 months' time, to phone a real estate agent and say, could you find us a house with a photographic studio attached, wasn't going to happen. So we spoke to the real estate agent and said, look, we're not ready to do any of this, but we really liked the last house that we saw. The last house? What was wrong with the other four?
Oh.
She said, don't worry, I will sort everything out for you. And we were like, well, if you can, then that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. We'll move. Not only half expecting her to do this, organise it, but she did.
And very quickly as well.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a, because it was so quick, we just jumped in and it was a, well, let's have a go. We raised the deposit from raising the mortgage on the house in London. So our risk was that amount of money, we thought. And we knew as soon as we got here, it had to be a business. Off and running from the second we got here. But if it worked, we thought it could be a good fun adventure. But if it didn't and we had to hand the keys back, well, we'd have tried something a bit different.
Well, you're still here, what, 16 years later?
17.
17 years later. So it worked.
It worked. It worked. I mean, it was tough, especially the first 2 years. Absolutely. We're just outside Campos, and now it's so much more international, and, you know, even the town with all the supermarkets, we're just overwhelmed with variety of everything. But 17 years ago, it was a very small village with all the shutters shut. And you saw no one in the winter. So we had a couple of tough years.
It must have been very different from living in London.
Completely. I mean,
polar
the opposite.
Polar opposite.
But we were still commuting, weren't we?
We were, yes.
What surprised you about rural living here and living in an old property?
I think one thing we weren't prepared for was things not being open on a Saturday afternoon or not being open on a Sunday, because we were just completely accustomed. I mean, where we were in London, there was a 24-hour supermarket and things like that. We never gave it a second thought. So you'd come to do a DIY project and think, well, I need to go and get some screws. Oh, it's Sunday, I can't go. But it was just naivety on our part, really.
We came from a little terraced house in South London to 12,000 square metres in the middle of the countryside, without a clue, being both townies, and yet somehow we, I don't know, I suppose we just adapted. It was an adventure. We didn't take some of the things too seriously, but now I wonder how we stayed at some point.
We were very fortunate in as much as the house had been left empty for quite some time, and the owners had a caretaker who looked after it. As anybody who lives in a rural area will know, if you don't cut things down, it will get completely overgrown and disappear in a very quick space of time. And we were told that Pedro was going to look after it until us, the new owners, took over, and then he would retire.
He was already in his 70s,
He was in his 70s, yeah. So we all met up when we, the handover of the house the day that
we
moved in.
It was very, very nice. The owner came, the estate agent,
yes,
the man who knew about the boiler, everybody came, all on the same day.
And
Pedro and his
wife. And at this stage, our Spanish was negligible.
Yeah.
Pedro didn't speak English, but he communicated through the owner that he would stay on if we wanted him to, which we were very grateful for. In hindsight, I think he possibly thought these two won't stand a chance.
He took one look at us and thought, there's no way they'll get through a week.
Exactly.
And we did on that first night when they all left, we walked to the end of the field, and it was nasty weather, wasn't it?
It was.
And I put our wellies on, stood at the end of the field, and just looked back at this huge space and thought, what on earth have we done?
You had the studio at the back.
Yes.
To go in there, it's like going into a London loft. It's amazing. And you'd never guess it was there when you're on the road.
No.
Was it like that when you arrived?
No, it was an empty shell. The previous owner was a photographer and he had built it, but he hadn't finished it. So it was 2006. We'd been here about 3 years, I think. 2006, we drew up the plans for the interior and changed it into what it is now.
It's like a simple barn building to start with. So it had the basics there, but it was bare concrete, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So after a few years, like Carl says, we decided we'd turn it into a studio come lifestyle space. It looks a little bit like a New York loft.
It does.
And we knew that the teams that also come here and just rent the space, lots of catalogue teams and advertising teams and TV commercials quite often come, they really like that mixture of something maybe quite minimalist and ultra-modern, but with traditional stone and greenery and palm trees. So we thought it would be a good way to combine the two. And then the house side that we're sitting in now is quite traditional and old, so it gave a good balance.
Yeah, it's an interesting contrast, doesn't it? And so you've had a lot of use of it over the
We really have.
Years.
I mean, it comes and goes. We have very much a season for when people hire it, from May to October. Obviously, this year has not been the same, as we know. But normally between May and October, all sorts of really interesting people come, don't they? And we get to meet. This year we had a team from Germany who make, I don't know the actual traditional name, but it's all the Oktoberfest traditional outfits.
Oh, really?
Lederhosen and drindle the skirts big... and the big, exactly, the big blouses for yes. ladies. And this team came for a couple of days and we learned all about that.
It was fascinating insight.
Absolutely fascinating.
To something we knew nothing about.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really interesting too.
Well, for a long time, you were commuting backwards and forwards and
right.
to look at your Facebook page, so very often pictures of Gatwick or Palmer Airport or an aeroplane on the tarmac yeah. outside.
Yeah.
Presumably that has had to ease off because of the lockdown.
It's almost completely non-existent. We had the previous year, pre-lockdown, decided to reduce the amount of travelling we were doing. We ran a record of 38 flights one year Ooh. For work, and it's... was something that we were keen to do less and less of. But things have changed here. So whereas we used to work a lot with UK clients in the UK and a certain amount of UK clients coming here, and a lot of our industry used to come from outside, now there's a lot more startups here. There's a lot more people who run international or web-based companies who have decided to base themselves here. So there's a lot more happening in our industry here.
So we've been trying to reach out to some of these newer companies here, because how nice to particularly find brands and products that are produced, well, maybe not locally, but the creators are here, and why not? You know, it's an international world. So.
There are some very creative people
very
here. I know you've got people like Knox Design,
yes,
interior
exactly.
designers, Private Chef Mallorca.
Exactly.
A very good chef, and My Muy Bueno.
My Muy Bueno, I mean...
Yeah.
They've now gone back to London.
Well, yes, but how fantastic. What a great success story. I mean,
there's
a whirlwind.
Yes. And did you get involved in photography for the My Muy Bueno book?
We didn't for the book, but we did for the deli and the interiors. And we did the website. And we met a really nice, interesting new brand, actually, this year called Parietti. I don't know if you've heard of
it. What's that, cycling gear?
Cycling gear, yeah. Mm. Well, you know more about that.
You've not been tempted onto a bike?
Yeah, just to admire them. Objects to photograph.
You can wear the clothing without getting on the bike.
Oh, right. There are so many photographers on
Mallorca.
There
are so many, yeah.
Were you expecting that?
That has also changed, hasn't it, over the years?
Yeah, there's been a big change, because when we first came here 17 years ago, everything was shot on film and there were two labs on the island. And now everything has moved over to digital. Technically, photography is a lot easier. Creatively, that's still subjective.
So that would be your USP, creativity,
yes.
I think.
Creativity and the fact that we are commercial, professional photographers. You have to find the right clients. It's a balance, isn't it? There's
it is.
The right people for the right people. We always say sometimes, you know, we're not suitable for everybody. We're not what they're looking for. It has become a little bit difficult. I mean, you can say that, you know, everybody's a photographer now with the access to Instagram and so on. But it's more than that. It really is. And commercial brands still need professional, well-lit
yes. And that's probably most apparent when you look at websites. And Carl,
yes.
you've gone into website designing, or is that something you always did?
Well, website design came about because... back when we needed websites, because we're so picky and control freaks, we could never get anybody else to make them exactly how we wanted them. So we've done our own websites for years. And we find now that people come to us and say, I'm launching this, I need the photography, and I need a website. It's almost the two together. But the advantage of doing the photography and the website is you know exactly where everything is going to go.
Yes.
You know what images you need for where. Whereas if you split that up and you have an empty website and then you go looking for the photography for it, it doesn't often mesh as well as it could.
Yeah, the photography is really important, isn't it? I think
Absolutely.
You look at websites sometimes and think, oh, I've only got a proper photographer to take that.
Well, you have to have imagery on a website. If you take all the imagery off a website, you're just left with the text. Mm. It's quite dull to read. And I think for a lot of people, especially for companies and businesses and brands, their website is the first impression that somebody gets of them. So it's obviously important to make the best first impression that you can.
And you have a very short amount of time to catch someone's attention. You know, it's the images that tend to do that, and then people go on to read and see if it's what they're looking for.
Mm.
Which do you prefer, Carl? Do you prefer the website work or the photography?
That's a really interesting question. I think it's like everything else. I like the variety. If I was just doing all of the same thing. Very early on in my career, I photographed boy bands. And every week it would be a new boy band. And I had this sort of slight nightmare that for the rest of my life, I was going to walk into the studio and meet another boy band. And that was my life. So the variety, I think, is what really... And the website where we've done the photography and the website, the finishing of that project is really nice because we've had total control over how the whole thing looks. Mm. So that's very satisfying to do.
You're both very good photographers. Acclaimed photographers.
Thank you.
Is there any kind of rivalry between you or not?
I don't think there is. I don't think maybe there was when we were, you know,
I'm
a lot younger. When we actually were rivals.
We knew of each other before we'd met. We knew about each other's work, but we hadn't actually met. So definitely at that stage, there was some rivalry.
Friendly rivalry.
We both used to work for Record Mirror, which was
a
wonderful weekly publication. The only people who had the right to publish the charts, so it had a huge circulation. And they had a team of about four photographers that they would alternate through. And invariably, you would do a cover shoot. So it would be us,
and
two other photographers, and it would circulate, and you'd always go, they got
this week.
It was who they got. You know, they were given Boy George. I really wanted to do Boy George.
Who's the most difficult person each of you have ever photographed, do you think?
Oh my gosh!
Or can we name names? Should we not name names?
I had one very difficult shoot. Where I was actually commissioned by a magazine to photograph Vicky for an article.
You were a difficult muddle.
You see, that's mean.
Your dad likes that picture.
Yes, I know. I'm the worst subject. I really don't like being in front of the camera. I'm so much happier behind it. I think the more, say, famous the personal celebrity or interesting person you photograph, they tend to be the more professional. So they don't tend to be hard work. I mean, maybe the people behind the scenes can be quite hard work getting to the point.
Yes.
You know, getting through the PRs and the red tape to the shoot. But usually when you photograph someone quite well known and they're quite used to it, they're very relaxed. They make you relaxed. I did once have Diana Rigg tell me to move the light because it would look better if I moved it down a little bit, darling.
Oh, darling.
Which I just thought was brilliant. And I always remember that.
Despite the fact that you are not travelling backwards and forwards to the UK at the moment, you're keeping very busy. What do you like to do when you're not working?
Working.
Well, yes. Like to do and need to do are two different things in the countryside.
Indeed.
This place comes with a lot of maintenance. Some of it is really pleasurable. I love being outside. I would garden every day, paint walls. I love it. I like being really physically active. Some of it is pleasurable. Some of it, like I was saying, this bank holiday weekend, I've been painting your typical Mallorcan wall that most of it you get on the roller. Not so pleasurable.
When we first came here, we were very London and we were looking at paint palettes to get the exact hue that we wanted.
Just a nice off-white.
We very quickly realised that white emulsion, because we'll be putting it on every 12 months.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you suffer from damp here? Many houses do.
Yeah. Campos is quite notorious for it. Obviously, it's very flat. We're on just above an underground, just streams everywhere, isn't it?
Underground rivers.
Underground rivers everywhere. Yeah. So there's a lot of maintenance. Like I say, some of it's great to do. Some of it's great being outside with the dogs. We love that. Mm. And then some of it's more of a chore.
And do you have mains electricity and water here?
We do. Yeah.
And we now have fibre optic internet as well.
In the countryside.
In the countryside. In fact, we've almost had it a year.
We've been waiting
Christmas present.
They've had it in the town for quite some time. And we've been waiting for it for a long time. We've pestered the internet company, the internet companies on numerous occasions to say, when are we getting it? And every time we saw a man digging a hole, we would ask, fibre optica. And then about 6 months ago, somebody knocked on the door to say, could they come inside to get to our telegraph poles to run cables across? Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's not fibre optic by any chance, is it? Yes. So I'd spent all those months sort of looking at people drilling holes, and I should have been looking up, really.
Ah.
So, yes, so we know we're quite...
Yeah, and we do have a well as well. A well as well.
A well.
Yeah, so we use that quite a lot for watering and irrigation. But we are on mains water and mains electricity, which is fantastic, you know.
Quite fortunate, really, because a lot of people in the countryside, like us, are on solar and a truck brings our water
again,
to us.
It wasn't really something we considered when we just moved here. It
would have been a shock, wouldn't it?
It would have been a bit of a shock.
We'd been here a few years when we learnt that we weren't on mains drainage and that we had a Posa Negra.
Ah,
yeah.
And it was only when that overflowed that we realised we weren't connected to the...
Oh, lovely, that must have been pleasant.
That was a learning curve.
It was a learning curve.
It's not so bad.
Well, like lots of people who live in the countryside in Mallorca, you have acquired a little menagerie.
We have, yes.
We have,
some walk-ins.
Yes.
Yeah, we came with one dog, Morris, who got to live 7 years in London and 7 years here, and absolutely loved it. And then over the next few years, we acquired three more rescue dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we have two rescue dogs, Scooby and Murphy.
The house did actually come with a cat.
Yes.
We've left you the cat.
Yes, here's your house, here's your cat. never had a cat before.
I've never had a cat before. My mother was phobic about cats, so I'd never had anything to do with cats
Mine
at all.
Mine was too. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Mine abandoned me in a pram and ran off up Primrose Hill because a cat came over.
Well, that wasn't quite like that.
So, yes, there was the cat that came with the house.
Yes.
Two or three that have turned up over the years walked and thought, in. This looks like a good place to live, I think I'll stay.
And now we have Twinkos, who was the latest walk-in.
He's the latest walk-in.
And we also have a peacock.
That's a very unusual.
It's an unusual one, yes. Alan the peacock arrived 5 years ago, I think.
It must be,
maybe even six.
We spotted him, didn't
we? Yeah, we thought, I think my mum was staying at the time and we were away. And she said, oh, I think I've seen a bird. It looks a bit like a pheasant or something really big. And it keeps coming over here. And so we went to look, and it was a peacock.
Did you have any idea what to do with a peacock?
No, not a clue.
No, not at all. We did a bit of research on the internet, and it seems that they're quite territorial. So it's possible that he was pushed out by others and had to find his own patch and chose us.
And you are now on his territory.
Oh, absolutely. With his rules, yes. Yeah.
But you do have a beautiful display of tail feathers.
We do, yes. That is very, very lucky. And he produces a new one each year.
Very generous.
Which was something we had no idea about when all his tail feathers started falling out.
We were really worried.
We were really concerned. And we were like, how on earth are we going to get him in the car to take him to the vets? But it's normal.
We found out it's normal. Yeah. So every July, August, when it's really hot, you collect them everywhere. They all drop out. And then they start to grow a new one. It's the most amazing thing.
Very interesting. Any other pets lurking?
Two koi carp, two other fish. I don't know what they are. We had a hedgehog for a couple of days. Not sure what happened to him. Carl found him in the road, so we rescued him. Very sweet, but obviously let him go in the undergrowth.
Mm.
Hope he survived.
And do you get tortoises here?
We don't.
Interesting, isn't it? Because there are lots of areas on the island where there are a lot of tortoises.
Yeah. I'm sure one day we'll have chickens, but not for the moment with enough to handle and look after. Luckily, we've got some good neighbours who have wonderful chickens, so we're well supplied with fresh eggs.
and what do the locals think of this international couple?
Oh, that would be so interesting.
Cool
to know.
And stylish.
I'm not sure we come across like that.
No.
Especially not the stylish.
Not a normal day, no. really glad this is
always
voice-only interview.
Always we found people here to be so friendly and so helpful in our local town. And when I very first came here, my lady and the newsagents would tell me I was the only English person in the village that she knew. Mm. And people have just been incredibly helpful. Yeah. We've never, ever experienced anything negative, really. People have been extremely helpful.
Same neighbours since we've been here, and I think that helps.
Yes.
You know, that we're not too close to, but nice enough if the electricity's off or the water, you know, that kind of nice neighbourly feel we have around here, but no one's really that close. And over the years, we've met more friends and we have more friends locally. That was another difficult thing, living in the countryside, I think. You know, we were very happy when we met you.
Yes.
Well, we met you through working and that was so lovely. But quite often, it can be very quiet, can't it?
Yes.
For quite a long time.
Yes, if you're in the countryside.
You know, in the countryside.
And no, you don't see anybody come past because you have gates.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you can't even wave at the neighbours going past.
We can't.
I think it's one thing that's been a big difference to us coming here is when we were in London, our social life and our friends were all based within the industry. But coming here, we've met people from all sorts of different backgrounds and things.
It's so wonderful.
Really interesting.
Yeah. So I gather from what you're saying that the sort of the British population of this area has increased since you've been here.
It has, and, well, definitely more international, generally. I'd say we still have quite a mixed friend group. We quite often, you know, if it's a pair, maybe one's English and one's German, or one's Spanish and one's English, or something like that. And we really like that, and we just like that we've really interesting friends.
Yeah,
I'd be glad to know.
A cosmopolitan aspect of living here.
People are doing many different things.
Yeah. What do you think are your favourite things about living in Mallorca in the countryside?
The space.
I think the space.
It's the dog lapping.
That's Scooby having a drink of water. Yes, thanks, Scooby.
This could go on for a while.
Yes, it could, yeah. We tend to be friends with Mr. Horse.
He's a thirsty boy.
Yes, he is. Definitely the space. The ability to live a much more outdoor life, you know, especially in the winter here, as we know, it's often warmer outside than in.
Yes.
You know?
I think number one is the weather.
The weather.
If we were to write a list of reasons why we wouldn't move back to the UK, I think the weather would be.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks because we're photographers, we came here for the light. We didn't. We came here for the heat.
And really, Mallorca, I mean, it's the most incredible place. It's the variety. It's the mountains and the forests and the beaches, and I don't think you could ever get bored. It'd be very sad to be bored of Mallorca.
Talking of beaches, you live fairly close to probably the most famous beach on the island, Estrenc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you go very often?
We do, but we tend to go more in the winter, to be honest. We do lots of dog walking, lots of beach walking, and all the beaches in this area we love. They're all slightly different, you know. Obviously, Estrenc's known for its big, beautiful, long stretch in the sand dunes. But we also love to go to the coves, and there's just so much.
And do you swim?
Yeah, a little bit. We do have a favourite spot in the summer when it's very hot. We like to go first thing in the morning. We'll keep that a secret.
Yes, because well, at the time it gets to about 11 o'clock, the queues to get to Estrenc are impossible, aren't they?
It's impossible. Yes. I mean, this year we did take a couple of weeks and made the most of it being quieter. You know, and we went and we visited more. We had a little thing, we'll go and visit some beaches we've never really been to. You know, because even after all this time, there's still plenty that you haven't tried. So we made the most of going to different places. But yes, we are. We're spoiled.
Yes, we are spoiled here. And what about eating out? You're vegetarians, aren't you? Almost.
Almost,
You don't eat meat.
We don't eat meat, but we eat fish.
Not eating meat. We had quite a lot of vegetarian friends come and stay just after we moved here 16 years ago. And it was a challenge. Did you find that?
Yes. We did, without a doubt. It was tortilla, basically, or pasta with tomato sauce. And certainly in the supermarkets, there was very little vegetarian food 17 years ago. But now, it's completely different.
Yeah, I don't really think about it, to be honest. There's always choice. We're not huge eater-outers.
No.
Obviously, we like trying new things. But you don't really have to consider it. I can't think of any way you'd go unless you went to a restaurant that's particularly well known for its meat, obviously.
Yes.
You know. But even then, there'd be the tartar bravas. You'd be fine.
There's always something to eat in
Mallorca.
There's
always something to eat. Yeah.
That's good. If you were giving advice to anybody who was thinking about moving to Mallorca but maintaining some sort of a career in the UK, what would your advice be?
I'd have a long-term plan, because the commuting, it's how long do you want to do it for, really? And we did it for many, many years. And at certain stages with Icelandic cloud storms causing chaos with flights, obviously this year, you know, at certain points it's quite difficult. And it's how much of your time do you want to spend in an airport, basically.
But it is possible now, isn't it?
Without a doubt.
Many industries now, because you can be anywhere in the world, and it's another amazing reason to be here. You know, I tend to kind of encourage people to come here. I know there's people that say, oh, there's not enough work for people, and I say, come and have a go. You know, it might not be for you, but have an adventure.
Why not spend the time and try it?
Why not spend the time?
And stay for 2 winters.
And stay for 2 winters. That's the trick.
Don't make a decision until you've been here for 2 winters, whether to go back or not.
Because the first one you'll find hard. The second one you'll remember was very hard, but you'll have some tricks.
What was the best trick you learned for coping with winter?
Electric blanket and a wood burner.
And ventilation. Don't put the heating on and close all the windows because everywhere will go mouldy.
Top tip.
And
I can vouch for that.
Yes.
Thank you so much for talking to us. If anybody would like to find out about your work, what you do, you're still obviously working. So if anybody is listening and thinks, yeah, they sound really good, how can they find out more about you?
Oh, that's very kind of you. We are studiomajorca.com, studiomajorca.com.
And there are photos, there are videos.
There are links
to lots of clients.
Yes.
And some great photos, really beautiful photos.
Thank you.
And you're on Instagram?
We're also on Instagram, Studio Majorca Photo. You can find us there. Get in touch. We're very happy to hear from you.
Thank you very much indeed for talking to Living in Rural Majorca. I wish you many more happy years of living here in the Campos countryside.
Thank you, Jan.
You've been listening to Carl and Vicky Grant, whose finca near the small town of Campos is both their home and workplace. They're great examples of people who had a dream of a better life and went for it successfully. You can see examples of their creative work on their website, studiomajorca.com. If you'd like to read about our own experiences of a finca home in the Majorcan countryside, then take a look at my blog, livinginruralmajorca.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and if you enjoyed it, I hope you'll subscribe to hear more expats talking about their experiences. Until next time, it's goodbye from the beautiful island of Majorca. Living in Rural Majorca is produced and presented by me, Jan Edwards. The theme tune was composed by Jack Waldenmeyer and published by Music Bakery Publishing.